This is Rebecca Levingston from Bunyapa Park in West End on ABC Radio Brisbane.
So when we talk South Brisbane, we talk West End, Highgate Hill, Dutton Park, Annerley, Woolloongabba, East Brisbane, Kangaroo Point. What an incredible mix of people and priorities. If you look at facilities in this area, it takes in everything from the Brisbane Convention Centre, the Gabba, a couple of hospitals in the mix there as well. This is the smallest electorate in area, covering just 12 square kilometres. But it is bursting with ideas and connections to politicians. And I've said it before in this campaign, I'll say it again, how fortunate we are to live in a free society where you can have a contest of ideas, where you've got candidates who are willing to come along this morning and say, this is me and this is what I'd like to do for you. And that's what you're going to get when you meet the candidates running in the seat of South Brisbane. Jackie Trad, this is her electorate. If we look at the 2017 results on the primary vote, Jackie Trad got 36% of votes. Amy McMahon in the Greens, 34.4% of the vote. And the LNP candidate at the time, 24% of the vote. So preferences matter. What is going to happen on Halloween this year? Well, that's what we'll try and find out. The task ahead of whoever is the next member of South Brisbane is huge, and there are lots of people putting their hands up to do that job, including Jackie Trad, the current ALP state member for South Brisbane, also the former Deputy Premier and Treasurer of Queensland. Jackie Trad, good morning.
Good morning, Rebecca, and good morning to everyone in the park and everyone online.
Have you been door knocking a lot over the last couple of weeks?
Absolutely. As long as it's been COVID safe, we've been doing heaps of door knocking, more than 8,500 doors and almost 30,000 phone calls.
What is one conversation with one of your constituents that has really stuck out in your mind?
I have to say that the universal comment that I get on the doors, on the phones, talking to people is enormous pride in the way that Queensland has dealt with the global health pandemic this year. I've had people say to me, we live in the best state, in the best country in the world. We have certainly done an outstanding job, and that's taken a lot of, I think, tough decisions that the Premier has copped a lot of flack for, but people understand why those tough decisions had to be made, particularly when Victoria went into a second lockdown.
Jackie Trad, who is the current member of South Brisbane. Amy McMahon would like that to be her title. She is the Queensland Greens candidate. Amy, how many doors have you knocked on?
Well, we've knocked down something like 20,000 doors, 20,000 phone calls, and we've had around 10,000 conversations with people right across South Brisbane. And the overwhelming sentiment that we're getting is that people are feeling pretty fed up with a political system that puts corporate interests ahead of everyday people. People are fed up with spiralling unemployment, underfunded schools, an expensive public transport system, and 18 new coal mines. And people are looking for an economic recovery that puts people first, that doesn't rely on coal mining and gas, that it's investing in the kind of infrastructure that we need to create the jobs that we need right now.
Are you hearing the kind of gratitude that Jackie Trad expressed there in terms of how the COVID-19 pandemic has been handled in Queensland?
Absolutely. I think people's feeling is that we've been really lucky here in Queensland, and the Greens' response has always been to follow the health advice. But there are some gaps in terms of support for people over the last few months. The residential eviction moratorium is about to cease federally. Seeker and JobKeeper are about to drop as well. So we know that people are concerned about what's coming next.
Clem Grehan is here as well. He is the LNP's candidate for South Brisbane. Clem, why do you want to be the member in this electorate?
Good morning, Rebecca, and good morning, everybody in South Brisbane. I would like to be the member, and the first question you asked, Jackie, was is there one conversation you can remember? And yes, I door knocked on a public housing tenancy in East Brisbane, and the respondent there, a young unmarried, she had two young children, and her issues for this election were trust. And she was not going to vote for Jackie Trad because it was about trust. And, she'd been hauled up before the CCC.
And she cleared.
She may have been cleared. But,
well, that's a pretty important aspect of that conversation, though, isn't it, Clem?
Part of that is things go on and there are track records, and her comment was that she wasn't going to be voting for Jackie because she thought this type of thing might continue. And the second thing that actually resounded from this young woman said she did not want to have another Jonathan Shree in South Brisbane. And the third thing she was after was they wanted jobs, and it's all about jobs now. And
that's well, what was your response to her saying that as a priority? How will you create jobs in this electorate?
We, the LNP, will create jobs all over Queensland. We've got a regime to build six dams. I could go through those, upgrade the Bruce Highway, four lanes all the way to Cairns. And we've got a policy for giving or building rental accommodation.
Okay, so those jobs that you mentioned there in terms of the Bruce Highway further north, I think that's between Gympie and Cairns, and you mentioned dams as well. Do you think that translates to economic realities for the constituents of South Brisbane?
It does. The economy flows around, and quite often all of those people, they might get on a plane and they'll fly up to central Queensland. There's a lot of people in all of the new units here in South Brisbane that are working outside South Brisbane. They live here, but because it's a great place to live, but they work elsewhere. So they're FIFO, but they're living here.
Clem Grehan, the LNP candidate for South Brisbane, saying jobs front and centre, his priority. Amy McMahon from the Greens here this morning as well, mentioning corporate donations and also the future of thermal coal mining. Jackie Trad, the current member for state for South Brisbane. Jackie, I just want to give you an opportunity to respond to some of Clem's comments there, because this has been a challenging year for you. 2020, you began as the Deputy Premier and the Treasurer of this state. You have been investigated. You have been cleared. You've done nothing wrong, and yet still you have to address questions about trust. Is that something that's coming up for you?
Well, that's a question from Clem, not a question that I've been getting at the doors. But let me say that this is typical of the LNP, regardless of what has been found, regardless of what is fact, regardless of the evidence, they will still go on and they will continue to smear, because that is the way that they will get into government. That's what they did at the federal election. And let's be clear, we are now 10 days away from the most important election that our state will see in a generation. We are experiencing the worst economic conditions in almost 100 years. The LNP have made $24 billion worth of promises, and there is no costings. There is absolutely no evidence or information for the Queensland public to understand how they're going to pay for all of those promises. And let me say this, an independent report has found that in order to pay for those promises, at least 30,000 public servants will have to be sacked. Last time that happened under Campbell Newman, they were nurses, they were frontline workers, there were community organisations that were gutted in terms of public funding for the important work that they do. 250,000 Queenslanders have already voted. And by the time that we get to election day in 10 days' time, it is predicted that 70% of Queenslanders will have voted, and the LNP, as the alternative government, must say where they are funding their election promises, because quite frankly, last time they did that, they made promises, and they made promises off the back of sacking workers. And we don't want to see a repeat of that, particularly in these economic conditions.
Jackie Trad, Deb Frecklington would say, well, Labor hasn't produced a budget. The federal government's produced a budget. Where are the figures that they can look at or that can be shown to the Queensland people? What I'm hearing from people is that they feel a little bit like both major parties are flying blind on this. Should Labor have been more forthcoming in terms of the economic state of play in this state?
Well, a detailed economic statement has been released. It has all of the best estimation of the figures to date. And let's be clear, the federal government has even said that they are flying blind when it comes to the impact of economic closures, the closure of our economy that we've seen, the industrial collapse in terms of key industries like tourism that and like aviation. So they are flying blind as well. We are doing the best we can in a global pandemic, but one thing you can trust when it comes to labour, we will not sack workers and we will not gut community organisations and we certainly will not sell assets.
Amy McMahon, resources play a huge role in the Queensland economy. The Greens for a long time now have been front and centre with their opposition to thermal coal mining. For many voters, that is an alarm bell saying, well, in terms of royalties, you want them to be high, but at the moment they already fund things like roads and hospitals. They give a lot of people jobs. What do you say to the people who are saying to the Greens, you're trying to shut down an industry that is the heart of my job?
Yeah, look, this is a great question. And at this stage, the Greens are the only party who have all their election promises fully costed. We've been talking about an increase in mining royalties, raising coal royalties, and also royalties for base and precious metals. Over the last 10 years, the resources sector has exported $480 billion in resources, and Labor and the LNP let them pay just 7% royalties on that. And we're saying if we could increase mining royalties and increase state-based tax for property developers and banks, we'd have $68 billion that we could be investing in things like 9,500 more doctors and nurses, free hospital parking, fully funding our state schools with free breakfast and lunches, 100% publicly owned clean energy. And of course, we're factoring in a decline in coal and gas over the next 10 years. But we've got a huge, wide resources sector beyond that. A 20% royalties rate on them is very fair and very reasonable in a mining sector that will be with us going forward.
The polar opposite, potentially, of the stance on thermal coal mining is perhaps held by members of the LNP. I'm not sure about for you, Clem Grian, where are you at in terms of the future of thermal coal? Would you open up the Galilee Basin?
The Galilee Basin is already being opened up. It's been signed off. Just to comment, I'm going to use the words of John Mayer, the ethical Green, who did run in Clayfield, but he's now running in South Brisbane. And Amy has talked about closing all coal mines, and a lot of them are very marginal, and they will just shut overnight. There'll be tens of thousands of people thrown out of work.
Let me pause there for a second. Are you talking about closing thermal coal mines overnight?
No, of course not. We've got a transition plan and we'd be supporting workers over that time, investing in new jobs in manufacturing and construction,
offering people homes
and childcare.
It's all business is marginal or can be marginal, and they are marginal. And what will happen is if you put up the royalties as you're intending to do, a lot of them will just close shop and go. You will be killing the cow.
Which ones will close overnight?
A lot of thermal coal mines are marginal at the moment. But it's, you know, Amy and the Greens, they're talking about getting all of this extra money from royalties.
Okay, but I just want to go back to, because again, it's important to be specific in terms of detail here. Otherwise, ideological sort of statements get made without follow-up questions, whether it's talking about what the Triple C's done.
Sorry, with all due respect, we talk about specifics, we talk about the amount of money that's exported in terms of our resource sector, but you will notice that the Greens political party don't actually say how much the resource sector contributes in terms of the economy, in terms of jobs, in terms of wages going into people's pockets, in terms of economic activities within regional communities. So there is a very skewed, non-detailed perspective of the resource sector that's promulgated by the Greens political party for an ideological reason. So if we want to have a talk about specifics, and I'd love to have a talk about specifics, let's talk about the whole economic contribution, not just the amount exported.
Amy McMahon.
Yeah, look, we're talking about phasing out coal and gas mining. We need to do that urgently to deal with climate change. But we have a huge and extensive resources sector that will continue into the future. And look, these companies are very wealthy. A lot of them dodge federal tax, and we could be making them pay their fair share in state-based royalties to have the money that we need
for our
communities.
They also employ a lot of Queenslanders, and those workers need to understand what operations are going to be mothballed because of the increase in royalties, what operations are going to be descaled, what operations are going to go from a permanent workforce to a labour hire workforce because it's cheaper, there's less wages, there's less conditions. There are all these ripple effects to really simplistic positions like this, Amy. And I think workers in the industry are entitled to know, in terms of your plans, because you're going around saying you're going to hold the balance of power, and you'll hold the balance of power in an LNP government that's giving you preferences. So what is the plan for these workers around operations of their mines, where they work, that put food on the table for their families? What is the flow-on effect of your decisions?
Yeah, can I just say, we have said that we will not work with an LNP government. The accusation that there is a deal is a complete lie.
Well, you'll take their preferences and Clive Palmer's preferences.
And in terms of workers in the resources sector, look, as I've said, we have an extensive resources sector that will continue, even with these higher royalties rates that these companies are able to carry, so they can pay their fair share for the things that Queenslanders really need. Our local schools here in South Brisbane are underfunded by $12 million every year. We could have the money that we need to make sure our schools are properly funded. We could have the money that we need to make free hospital parking, free public transport. But instead, the Labor government have decided to freeze royalties for mining companies because they're taking millions of dollars from fossil fuel companies and from mining companies. And you owe favours to those companies.
And
at
you
the
take
end of the
donations,
day.
Massive donations, the biggest political donation in Australia's history from gambling operators, from data scraping companies. Let's be really clear. We talk about corporate donations. You take donations from very wealthy individuals with significant corporate interests. It is the same thing, Amy.
No, it is not.
Well, just because you want to call it something not. Different doesn't mean it's different. You take hundreds of thousands of dollars from wealthy individuals. It is like saying taking a donation from Clive Palmer is different from taking a donation from Mineralogy. It is not. Quite frankly, that is a straw man excuse. You take donations from wealthy individuals with significant corporate interests.
A contest of ideas on ABC Radio Brisbane this morning, 27 past nine. You are listening to Jackie Trad, Amy McMahon and Clem Grehan. Three of the candidates who have put their hands up to take over the seat of South Brisbane. I've got some questions from the audience in a moment that we're going to get to, but we're 3 minutes away from a news update at 9:30. I just want to bring it back down from a sort of big picture approach to local issues. Clem, here in this electorate, Cross River Rail is coming. The Brisbane Metro is coming. How do you see that changing the circumstances for the constituents of South Brisbane?
Well, number one, it provides jobs for construction, but in the long term...
Thank you, Labor.
There was a bat tunnel that was proposed prior to that. A bus and train tunnel, and to get some economies to scale, that could have been built that way. But the question was about things for South Brisbane. Yes, it'll bring jobs, and
7,000 jobs.
There'll be more people to be able to use and come over to South Brisbane and enjoy the Gabba or enjoy the arts facilities here, and it'll create jobs in hospitality, or there'll be jobs in hospitality.
Yeah. The challenge that I'm hearing from locals that I've spoken to over the last week or so is a growing population. Selena from the West End Community Association talked about in the next 20 years an extra 30,000 people will come and live here. How do you grow this area, bring in big infrastructure pieces, and also maintain that sort of community character and connection? Amy McMahon?
Yeah, look, we've seen a huge amount of development in this neighbourhood over the last decade, thanks to the LNP Council, who have been following Labor's state planning legislation that allows all this development to go ahead, allows developers to build higher and wider than community expectations.
That's Amy. That is not right.
The state-based
that
legislation...
That is actually not true.
It is true.
Councils set bulk and height, and they set separation between buildings and parking. That is not true, Amy.
And the neighbourhood plans are signed off by the state government. So
after consultation with local communities, council consults with local communities. That's what they're elected to do.
And the state
this is rubbish and it's untrue, and you keep promulgating this and it's not true.
It's not correct. The state-based legislation written by Labor in the same year that they took $240,000 from developers allows developers to argue their way around down the neighbourhood plans and they end up not being worth the paper that they're written on. And this community has also seen a huge lack of investment in crucial public infrastructure. People have been talking about the need for more public transport, the need for, you know, good active transport connections. Our local schools are bursting at the seams as well.
There is, and that's why I'm delivering a new high school, the first new high school in 60 years in this community, expanding West End State School, expanding Buranda State School, expanding East Brisbane State School. Like, this is all underway, and Cross River Rail, the biggest public transport project this state government, well, any state government has ever delivered, has ever committed to and delivered. But let me pull up, Amy, on the planning stuff, because it is absolute rubbish. Let's be clear. The Labor government, the Palaszczuk Labor government, prohibited developer donations. The CCC said local council candidates should not accept developer donations. Well, we took it further and said no, state or local council candidates should take developer donations. These laws were challenged all the way to the High Court by the LNP because it's a rich source of funding. Now, it is absolute rubbish for Amy to say that planning laws were written because of donations. That's like saying the only reason that the Greens oppose Queen's Wharf is because they take hundreds of thousands of dollars from a bloke, a rich individual who runs a significant national gambling syndicate, and this is in direct competition to his business model. This is absolute rubbish. Hold on a minute. Let me finish. The state government is delivering more education, more public transport, more capacity in term, and I'm the only person in South Brisbane, including the local Greens councillor, who has delivered more public green space in this community in the past 10 years. So for the Greens to come in and say it's all a broken system and nothing is happening does not reflect what's happening on the ground.
If you do want to see who's donating to who in terms of Queensland political candidates, you can look it up. The Electoral Commission makes sure that any donation above a dollar figure of $1,000 has to be made public. If that's something that's important to you, that's the beauty of the democracy that we live in. More with Clem Grian, Amy McMahon and Jackie Chad in a moment, but right now it's gone 9:30. Emma Blackwood has news headlines.
Good morning, everyone. Queensland has recorded one new coronavirus case overnight. A man in his 30s who'd returned from overseas and is in hotel quarantine. The total number of active cases in the state has risen to 5. Meanwhile, a cargo ship has been forced to dock off the Sunshine Coast after concerns a previously undetected strain of COVID-19 could be on board. An engineer who worked on the Safrana Seville was found to have a mystery version of the virus when it stopped over in New Zealand. Queensland Health says all 19 crew on board will now be tested. Both the Premier and LNP leader are campaigning today in Townsville. Anastasia Palaszczuk has this morning announced a re-elected Labor government would build a second Bruce Highway inland between Charters Towers and Mungindye. Divers are back in the water at Babinda Boulders south of Cairns as the search for a missing Brisbane man continues. 37-year-old Shannon Hoffman disappeared on Monday night while swimming at the notoriously dangerous Devil's Pool. And scientists at NASA are celebrating a successful mission to suck up dirt from the surface of an asteroid. The spacecraft spent almost 2 years circling Bennu before swooping down to collect material that could provide clues about the origin of the solar system. We'll have more in the news at 10.
Thank you, Emma. ABC Radio Brisbane live from Bunyapa Park in West End this morning. West End Common, as it's known, on Vulture Street, corner of Thomas Street as well. So lovely to see a smattering of residents here this morning. I'm pleased to say a couple of dogs. There's a free piano in the background as well. We had twins, Anil and Jai, who played us a little tune on that this morning. It gives you a sense of the kind of community that is part of this patch of Brisbane. It's a lovely place to be. I'm going to take you to Boundary Street to meet some more business owners in a moment, some of whom, in fact, are very keen to talk politics as diplomatically as possible, if that makes sense. In fact, the business owners that I've spoken to know that they need to make strong connections, whether it's LNP, Greens or Labor. What they want is a thriving economy. A little more from business owners in a moment, and also from Jackie Chad, Amy McMahon and Clem Grian. But Zoe's here this morning. Zoe, what's your dog's name?
Bundy.
Bundy, the...
Border Collie.
The Border Collie. He's beautiful. Zoe, you got a question for our candidates this morning?
Yeah, I do. I have a small business here in West End, and we've lived in West End for 13 years now. I know Amy came around door knocking the other day, so I asked her on support for small businesses, and she mentioned some payroll tax concessions, which the Greens were thinking about putting in. So I'd like to ask the same question to both the Labor and the LNP candidates on support for small businesses.
Jackie Trad.
Thank you for the question. It's a really important question. And it is an important question because primarily small business employs 44% of all Queenslanders employed in the public, in the private sector. So it's critical that we have a thriving small business economy in Queensland. When COVID hit, and I was still Treasurer at the time, we immediately refunded payroll tax to all small businesses up to $6.5 million in liability, payroll tax liability. We refunded their payroll tax, and we also gave them a payroll tax holiday. But we need to do more than that. And so we moved on land tax concessions, freezing land tax, so that the halting of those payments could actually flow on to the retail sector, so small businesses didn't have to pay rents for a while. And on top of that, we have actually delivered over $1 billion worth of low interest and no interest loans for the first 12 months to small businesses predominantly. And we have given $10,000 grants to small businesses so that can adapt to an online environment. We don't know how long COVID is going to go for. We don't know when a vaccine is going to become available. We don't know when we have to basically restrict and expand. But what we do know is online digitisation of business and operation is really important in terms of ensuring that small business can not only survive, but they were also struggling beforehand with a lot of online shopping. So this gives them an opportunity to actually digitise a lot of their work.
Can I just jump in before I go to Clem? Zoe, has your business received any of the concessions, any of the grants that have been announced so far from any level of government?
Yeah, we have. We have had payroll tax concessions, which have come in, which have definitely helped. So our business, we pre-COVID, we probably had about 50 contractors working for us within that kind of IT business transformation space, and then it's probably kind of cut to about 20 or so now. A lot of that is because of a lot of uncertainty of kind of what the future is going to bring. And that's not only for small businesses, but actually because a lot of the businesses we deal with are actually some of the larger big businesses in Queensland. So they also, of course, are kind of stopping projects and things like that, which does affect us. So, yeah, I guess stability is important.
What industry do you work in?
HR and recruitment.
Right.
IT, yeah.
Clem, Zoe wants to know, from an LNP perspective, what's your approach to stimulating and supporting small business?
Thanks for the question, Zoe. I think I heard that you said you had 50 people? Yeah, rightio. And have you still got 50?
No, I mentioned that I could cut down to 20.
20, okay. The crows were intervening here. And I'm sure you would have been able to use or you've been helped with the job seeker. Now,
JobKeeper.
What will have been happening now there should be more people. The JobKeeper is coming off, so you should be able to have more people to be able to employ because there should be more available. But the party has also talked about giving 20% electricity discounts, and we are also going to allow payroll tax to be lowered for a period. And also land tax. I don't know whether you'll have any land tax, but there are a lot of small businesses, and actually I'd like to say hello to Paul DeLuca,
who's
the barber at Stanley Street. G'day, Paul. Paul used to cut my dad's hair. Yeah. And yes, you missed out yesterday, Paul, because I was having my hair cut at Michael at Russell Street. Yeah, so anyhow, hello to Paul DeLuca.
Interesting that you should raise him, Clem. And Zoe, thank you for your question this morning, and also to Bundy the Border Collie. Paul DeLuca is a barber who's been based in Woolloongabba for the last 52 years. I did duck in to see him the other day as a bit of a stalwart, I guess, of the business community. I was really surprised to hear him say this.
In 52 years I've been in here, I have not had one politician that actually came in and introduced themselves, local, state or member. That is a big statement to make, and I've been preaching this for a long time. Not one of them has ever put their head in the shop.
52 years. So you say, Clem, he used to cut your dad's hair.
And he cut my hair.
Okay, but you weren't a political candidate.
I wasn't then, no.
Paul De Luca said on a couple of occasions, Jackie Chad, you had almost connected with him, but perhaps your duties as treasurer pulled you away.
I don't go to barbers for haircuts, and my boys go to Phil, who's just here on Vulture Street, who's been here for many decades as well. So can I say, South Brisbane is so blessed to have many, many small businesses who have been operated for a long time by people like Phil and Mr. De Luca. And can I say, I grew up in a small business family, and they had a fruit and vegetable store on Stanley Street, Woolloongabba. So I absolutely understand the connection with small business. Mm. But I should pop in there. Unfortunately, I won't be able to get my hair cut there.
Yeah, Amy McMahon, I don't think Paul De Luca necessarily wants to cut your hair. He just wants to talk to you about what small business needs. What are the Greens promising small business?
Yeah, great question. I do go to the barber at Buranda's, but you know, might want to pop in to Paul as well. We've been talking a lot about small business, which we know have taken a real hit over the last few months. We've been talking about ways to ease operating costs with things like rebates for solar and batteries. We've also been talking about phasing out payroll tax altogether. If big companies were paying their fair share, if these big companies were paying their fair share in federal tax and state-based tax, we wouldn't have to have this tax on small business, which is essentially a tax on people bringing on more staff, which seems a bit perverse, particularly at the moment when we're trying to get more people into employment. And we know that small businesses are, you know, the lifeblood of our community, as opposed to projects like the Queen's Wharf Mega Casino in town. The Greens were the only party who were opposed to that project, which is going to decimate a lot of small businesses in town.
And create thousands of jobs.
But focusing on those small businesses, that's really the lifeblood of the community, rather than letting a huge multinational mining corporation, huge multinational property developer make huge amounts of profits, is really our focus here.
Jackie Chad, you jumped in there to say that that development will create thousands of jobs. So
it is creating thousands of jobs. And our
is it at the expense of smaller independent operators? Is there any kind of analysis that bears out what Amy McMahon's saying?
That's like saying, Rebecca, that all of the businesses that are popping up on Montague Road is at the expense of businesses in Boundary Street. The issue we have is about growing our economy, making sure that workers have sufficient wages so that they can actually spend it in local economies, whether it's in West End or whether it's in Montague Road, whether it's in Paddington, whether it's in the city. It's actually about growing our economy and making sure that it's not about pitting one thing against the other, which is what the Greens political party always does. It's about local economies and investing in local economies and making sure that workers have decent wages to spend it in the economy.
It's interesting that you mentioned Boundary Street compared to Montague Road, because I did have a conversation with Fiona at Avid Reader, which I think will play after 10 o'clock this morning, who actually does acknowledge that there are businesses that seem to be thriving off the high street now, and she's saying Boundary Street needs more assistance. So it's a tough thing to juggle. Before I let you go, because it's a busy day for all of the candidates, I think you've got another event at midday today where you'll be, you know, talking about your ideas. And again, I think we're all really grateful that you take the time to be here to actually talk to people who are tuned into ABC Radio Brisbane this morning. Whether or not they are voters in your electorate, it still gives a real sense of your conviction, your politics and where you're at. But there's a really important element that we haven't touched on yet this morning, and that is the arts. There are a lot of people in the live performance industry, musicians, performance artists, who are saying we were the first to lose our income in this pandemic, and we feel like we are being the last to be assisted. Clem, what are you doing to help the artists of South Brisbane?
Rebecca, I've got two children that are in the arts. Yes, they've diversified and organised other jobs. Yeah, but I did door knock a gentleman in Ross Street who, his business was backing up bands and providing stage settings and etc. And he's had a $1 million business that's just totally been wiped out. There's been a lot of businesses have been affected by COVID. What does need to happen is we do need to be sponsoring and having, I'd say, bigger or just more smaller events and more of them where people can be encouraged to come out and celebrate life and celebrate the fact that we've got over COVID. And that's about all I can say about that is I think that's what Forrest Gump said.
Do you see any or do you hear any frustration amongst the community that on Saturday night 30,000 people will be in a stadium for a football game, but we still can't figure out yet how to put live music events on with a capacity where the arts managers are making money, the performance artists are actually taking in a decent income?
Yes, I do hear that frustration. I certainly do. And people ask a lot of questions about there is a whole lot of inconsistencies over COVID. Yep.
Amy McMahon, for the artists of South Brisbane, what would the Greens do?
Yeah, it's such a great question. I've had so many conversations with artists over the last few months who have seen their sector in decline, lots of people worried about the mental health impacts, and lots of people contemplating just leaving the arts altogether. The Greens have been talking about increasing the amount of funding for small and medium-sized organisations. Arts Queensland at the moment gives very generously to big organisations, but only about 10% of their funding goes to small and medium organisations, which are really the lifeblood of creativity in the arts. We've also been talking about investment in new venues that are accessible and affordable to artists. We've been talking about the possibility of somewhere like Boggo Road Jail becoming an arts and cultural hub. Federally, the Australian Greens have been pushing for a $1 billion COVID emergency fund for the arts. And then more broadly, our platform has a lot of things that would help everyone, but would be particularly helpful for artists. 100,000 public homes for anyone who wants to live in a beautifully designed public home. Free public transport so people can get to and from arts venues without having to spend money on public transport. Genuinely free state schools so artists with families are able to get the support that they need. And mental health support, which we know is really grave in the arts. And all of this funded by making sure these big companies are paying their fair share, and we could be delivering this for artists in Queensland.
Jackie Trad, there's been a lot of kudos given to the Palaszczuk government in terms of the way that COVID-19 has been handled. Anecdotally, from my listeners over the last couple of weeks, a lot of gratitude in terms of feeling safe and secure. However, this issue on how the arts has been handled and the fact that we have welcomed the AFL and netball hubs and that kind of thing, have artists been left behind?
No, they haven't. We've actually released more than $42 million worth of funding for artists within the Queensland community. So that's not just individual artists, but small organisations, community organisations and the major players. We also, because we were able to manage the virus in Queensland to the extent that we did, we were able to have things like the Brisbane Festival. And the Brisbane Festival, because we had no performers coming in from internationally or from other parts of Australia, 70% of the performances, and I attended some of them, and some of them were here in Bunyapa Park, they were from local artists, and that was funded by the Queensland government. So let's be really clear. The Queensland government backs our creative sector. The federal government does not. But the single biggest thing that we should do in order to protect artists in this state is to make sure that an LNP government is not re-elected. Because the last time they were elected, they gutted the art sector. The first thing they did was to cancel the Premier's Literary Awards. They cancelled it. And the community rallied and put it back on. And so at this election, it is critical, not just for artists, but for everyone, that we do not see an LNP government re-elected. And they are trying to get re-elected by preferencing the Greens in South Brisbane. And Clive Palmer is on that bandwagon because they know that that not only secures them government, but it also means that there is an inexperienced voice from South Brisbane holding them to account.
Jackie Trad, with the flow of preferences different in this election, do you think you'll be the member for state for South Brisbane come October 31?
That's absolutely up to the people of South Brisbane. As I said, I've been working hard. I've been having lots of conversations with small businesses, with people at the doors, with people on the phone. And as I said, the one thing that they are so grateful for, they are grateful that we have been able to manage the virus, that we have put money in the economy to help support them. What they are fearful of is they are fearful of an LNP government with a secret agenda, and it is a secret agenda because there's lots of big promises and absolutely no documentation or fact or evidence on how they're going to pay for it. And the last time they did that, they gutted our economy, they threw workers on the scrap heap, and they tried to get away with absolute decimation of our economy.
Well, some of that agenda has been laid out clearly by you this morning, Clem Grehan. Do you think, honestly, there is a desire for a change of government in Queensland?
There is a desire for a change of government, and the LNP has the track record that we do build infrastructure and we can generate work, value-adding work. The question in a lot of Queenslanders' minds is, if Labor are returned, are the unions going to decide who the Premier is, or is it actually the Labor Party?
Well, Clive Palmer's going to determine who your leader is.
And
let's be clear.
No, that won't be the case.
Oh, I think it's the case. That's why he's backing you up with the big spending campaign.
If the Greens do have the balance of power and they do raise royalties, then there will be a lot of mines that close, and they'll close overnight because they'll just decide, well, we're not going to work in this environment, and the Greens will have killed the cow and there'll be no milk.
Amy McMahon, perhaps a final comment from you. Again, anecdotally, I'm hearing from a younger generation who have raised environmental concerns, who suggest that you have their support, but then there's quite literally a parenting generation that I've spoken to who've pretty clearly said, we like the way Anastasia Palaszczuk has handled COVID-19. Do you think you can win this seat?
Yeah, look, we know Green support here is just surging, and that people have been so excited about the vision for Queensland that we've been offering, where every Queenslander gets access to the things that they need to lead a good life. Genuinely free state schools, free hospital parking, addressing overdevelopment in this neighbourhood as well. I will just say, if I thought there was any risk of an LNP government with the Greens winning here, I wouldn't be doing this. There's no correlation between a Greens win in South Brisbane and an LNP government.
The LNP have said it, Amy.
It's not true.
The LNP have said it. They've said they will do whatever it takes, including preferencing the Greens in South Brisbane, to win government.
And we're telling people to not listen to anything the LNP has to say.
Jackie, you're greener than the Greens.
Well,
you're the ones who takes the Greens policy and
Tim Manda in 2019 made it very clear, as did Deb Frecklington, the reason that they are doing this is because they need to do whatever it takes, including preferencing the Greens in South Brisbane, to form an LNP government. He is on the record of saying that.
It's not to form an LNP government, it's to say bye-bye to Jackie Trad.
Just when I thought I was going to try and wrap this debate up, it seems like you all want to talk more. Again, thank you all so much for giving up your time this morning. This is what every candidate should be doing in every electorate across Greater Brisbane and across Queensland right now. Thank you all for taking the time to do it this morning.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Jackie Trad from the ALP, Amy McMahon from the Greens, and Clem Grehan from the LNP. This is ABC Radio Brisbane.